tonight, Father, I just pray that you would fill me with your power and that the Holy Spirit will rest upon me as I preach, dear God. And please just use the Word of God tonight in the hearts of everyone who's here. Strengthen them and build them up. Edify them, dear God. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is talking about here his tribulations. Look at verse number 1. He said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles' sake. He gave his life to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what he spent his life doing. And here he's actually in jail writing this letter from jail. He's in jail because he's preaching the gospel. And he says in verse number 13, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations." Of course, the word tribulation means persecution or affliction. If you study the Bible, you'll see that's what it means. "For you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory," and this is the part that I want to focus on, "to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Okay, let me read that phrase for you again. "To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now, the title of the sermon tonight, and turn back to Luke chapter 1, if you would, Luke chapter number 1 in the Bible. The title of the sermon tonight is "Strong in Spirit." Being strong in spirit is what we're talking about tonight. And he said in Ephesians there, of course, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strength in the inner man, he's saying. Strength in the inward parts. Look at Luke chapter number 1, verse number 80. This is referring to John the Baptist. Luke 1:80, the Bible reads, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Now here we see the man who was the greatest man that was ever born of a woman, John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said anyway. In Jesus' opinion, and I think his opinion is the right opinion since he is God in the flesh, he said that the greatest man who ever lived was John the Baptist. Was it Moses? No. Was it David? No. It was John the Baptist, according to Jesus Christ. He said the greatest man who's ever been born of a woman is John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist here, the Bible says that he was a child in this verse. He grew up and he grew or waxed strong in spirit. His spirit was strengthened. Where was it strengthened? In the deserts is where he was. Till the day of his showing in Israel. Oh, I know what it was, right? He must have been out in a big crowd in the desert, right? All kinds of people out in the desert. Oh, I know. They must have built a Bible college in the desert. Is that what happened? They built some kind of big seminary school or some kind of a great big mega church out in the desert. Is that where he was? Is that where he became strong in spirit? No. I'm going to tell you something. He was alone in the desert with God. That's where his spirit was strengthened. You see, you're not going to be strengthened in the crowd. You're not going to be strengthened in this church service like you'll be strengthened when you're out in the wilderness like John the Baptist was. You and God alone. Alone with God. See, we live in a day where we're never alone. We're always around other people. And if we're not around other people, what do? We turn on the radio, right? And listen to other people talk. Or we turn on the TV. I sure don't. Good night. But, you know, people turn on the television and they listen to somebody talk to them. And then they turn on the radio and there's always noise or there's music or talking. It's so rare that people just can sit down and just in silence be alone with God. In the wilderness, so to speak. In the desert, so to speak. I was just talking to our visitor here, John, that's with us. He drives trucks, you know, and I do a lot of driving. I'm not a truck driver, but sometimes I feel like I am because I drive cars, but I mean, I'll drive literally 1,000, 1,300 miles a week, easy. I mean, some week, like a couple weeks ago when I put in that real long week with Eric when he was here, I probably drove like, you know, 2,100 miles. Of course, I made him do most of the driving, but I was riding for about 2,100 miles. Just drive. We went all the way up to Northern California, all the way back down, and all over the place. And I love driving. Why? Because I'm out in the desert. I'm out in the wilderness, and it's quiet, it's silent. And, you know, the whole time we were driving, that radio never turned on. When Eric and I were driving, we never even looked at that knob. It never turned on. And we were pulling up to the airport. It was about 15 minutes before we got there, and he said, "I'm going to turn this on." And he turned it on. I said, "Look, man." I said, "Has it been on for the last 2 weeks when we were driving in? Has it been on for the last, you know, 3,000 miles between this week and last week?" I said, "Hey, let's just keep it that way, all right? Turn it off." And we just had it off. It was not on, okay? We didn't mess with it. Why? Because there's something about just being quiet that people don't like. They don't like to just think. They don't like to be alone. They always have to be in the crowd. God is not the God of the crowd. God's the God of the individual. God's the God of the thee and the thou. Okay, that's what these modern Bibles, they change the whole tone of the Bible. Because what they do is they take out that singular word thou. If you know anything about the Bible, the word thou is singular. The word ye and you is plural. But in the NIV, you can't even see that. You know, it's just all you, 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 you. The Bible distinguishes where God is talking to thee. He's talking to one person versus talking to a group. And you'll find again and again, what's the common word you see? Thou, thou, thee, thou, thou. You say, I get confused by all those thees and thous. Well, look, it all means you. Pretty complicated, huh? Now you can read the King. Now you can go back to the King James, okay? Now that you figured out the big secret, okay? It's a big secret, but thee, thou, thy, thee, it's all you. Wow, that was tough, wasn't it? Let's translate a whole new Bible just to get rid of the word thou. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? And so, you got to understand that the way to be strong in spirit, the formula for John the Baptist was not a school. It was not a degree on the wall. It was not what we would think of when we think of someone learning the Bible. It was him and the Bible and God and the Holy Spirit alone in the wilderness, and he waxed strong in spirit until the day of his showing to Israel. Now, it's easy for us to just open up Luke chapter 3 and we see John the Baptist come on the scene and begin to preach with power. We begin to see the multitudes thronging to hear him preach. We begin to see the multitudes being baptized from Judea and from Jerusalem and from Bethabara and from beyond Jordan, all coming to be baptized to John to hear him preach. The whole nation came out to see him. It's easy for us to look at that and say, wow, wow, it seems like all of a sudden he's just success. I think God just chose to bless him like that. What we didn't see was the 30 years that he spent out in the wilderness. The preparation with him and God. Studying the Bible. Getting strong in spirit. That's how he was able to withstand some of the criticism. That was how he was able to withstand being thrown in prison. That's how he was able to stay strong. And his meat, you know, what was he eating? Locusts and wild honey. It wasn't exactly a gourmet diet. What was he wearing? Was he wearing an Italian suit? No, he was wearing skins and you know, clothing that was rough and tough kind of clothing. Okay, he's living out in the wilderness. But not only John the Baptist. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 40. Look at the next chapter, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And now we'll see Jesus Christ in Luke 2:40. The Bible says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit." Same wording, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Again, we see a young man, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, but waxing strong in spirit. Just like John the Baptist waxed strong in spirit. Spiritually strong is what we're talking about tonight. Spiritual strength. Strengthened in the inward parts, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 3. Matthew 14:23. Don't turn there. You turn to Galatians 1. But in Matthew 14:23, the Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away," this is Jesus, "he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Okay, this is Jesus' pattern. He preaches to the multitude. He wins the souls. He teaches his disciples. And he says, "I need to get away here. I need to get apart. And I need to go into this mountain alone to pray." And when even was come, that's 6 p.m., he was there alone. And he started praying. And he prayed and prayed until 3 a.m., if you study this story. And at 3 a.m. is when he comes out and he walks on the water out to the disciples that are in the ship, if you keep reading the story. And so we see here two men, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, both waxing strong in spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, we'll see the Apostle Paul. We'll see the pattern developing here. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." What did he do? Did he go to Jerusalem to get the training from man? Or did he go to Arabia to the desert to get the training from God for 3 years studying the Bible. You know, we live in the day of, and you know, I'm sorry if this offends you. Actually, I'm not sorry if this offends you. But I'm going to tell you something. We live in a day where we want everything, it's like we want everything to be done by somebody else for us or something. Like, you think about this. People raise their kids, right? They don't want to raise their own kids. They want to drop their kid off somewhere at some Christian school somewhere, and that's going to raise their kid for them. And then they're going to do it, and then if they don't turn out right, we send them to Christian school. I don't know what happens. Christian school is not the surrogate parent. Okay, God said that you're supposed to teach your kids. He used the word thee and thou in Deuteronomy 6. He said, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. These words are going to be in your heart. These words are going to be in your mouth. You personally are going to teach these to thy children, to your children, he's saying. You personally, singular. But we live in the age of the Christian school, the Christian fool movement. You know, where you just drop your kid off and they're just going to fix your kid. Raise your own kid. Teach your own kid the Bible. But then not only that, a young man grows up and says, I want to be a preacher. I'm going to go into the ministry. I'm going to go pastor a church. And what do? Do we tell him, you need to get the Bible and go to the wilderness and learn the Bible? You need to study the Bible. You need to read the Bible 15 times. Read the Bible cover to cover 15 times, and then you'll be ready to preach, huh? Why don't you memorize the whole New Testament? That's what we ought to be telling young men. We ought to be telling men to learn the Bible before they get down the pulpit and preach. They ought to be learning the Bible. But no, that's not what we do. We send them to a machine called a Bible college, and we think that if we put kid, insert kid into slot A of machine, and then slot B of machine is going to produce fiery fundamental preacher, and that's just not the way it works. No degree on the wall makes you a man of God. No degree on the wall is going to make you a preacher. No classroom is going to make you a preacher or a prophet of God. It might give you little titles to put behind your name. It might give you a little shingle that you can hang on the door that says doctor or master, of the, you know, even though the Bible says not to be called master. Master of theology or doctor of divinity or bachelor of science or bachelor of arts. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to get the power of God on your life. That's not going to get the Holy Spirit's power on you. What's going to get the Holy Spirit's power on you is when you go to the wilderness and you get strong in spirit with the Holy Spirit and with God Himself and with the Word of God. That's where you're going to learn what you need to learn. You say, well, I'm not going to be a preacher. Don't you want to be a soul-winning Christian? Don't you want to win souls in your family and get people saved? Don't you want to be a fruitful Christian that's bringing people to church, that's getting people saved, that's having converts baptized? You need the same strength in your spirit that John the Baptist had if you're ever going to see that happen. Don't you want your kids to grow up and live for God? You better be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You better be strong in spirit, and it's going to mean you getting somewhere alone with God. You say, I don't have time. Make time. Cut out something else. Now listen to me, I go out soul winning every week. Every week. We're knocking the doors. Every week. I look for opportunities also just when I'm on the road. On an airplane, different places. I try to present the gospel. I try to preach the gospel to people. And not only that, but I've set times where I know, even if I don't get the gospel to anybody, I know I'm going out door knocking and preaching the gospel just to make sure that stays number one. But I'm going to tell you something. Knock all the doors you want. Go knock doors all day long until your knuckles are bleeding. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get alone with God, you will not be in this thing for the long haul. You'll be in it short term. You'll go out and knock all the doors and be all excited. You'll fall out eventually because you're not strong in spirit. Okay? You must be strong in spirit. You must get in the wilderness with God. Get away from your friends for a little while. Okay? You don't always have to be around your friends. You don't always have to be around your family. Okay, get away from people a little while and go apart somewhere and get the Bible and get on your knees and read the Bible. Get on your knees and pray to God. Get on your knees and memorize the Word of God. That's what's going to strengthen you in the inward parts. We have a generation of sissified, cowardly, watered-down preachers in this country, and they all came out of Bible colleges, but they didn't come out of Wilderness Baptist College. And that's not the name of a college either. If it is, I don't recommend it. I'm not. They didn't come out of Wilderness Bible College with President Holy Spirit is the president of the Bible College. That's not where they came from. They came from some machine somewhere, but they don't know the Bible enough to beat their way out of a wet paper bag. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit's power on them. Why? Because they didn't get alone somewhere. They went to a crowd somewhere, and they didn't get what they needed. And they're not going to get what they need unless they get it straight from God. The same place that Jesus got it, the same place that John the Baptist got it, and the same place that Paul got it, in the desert, in the wilderness, alone with God. You may not like that, but that's what the Bible's teaching here. Okay, you don't always confer with flesh and blood. You know what it means to confer with flesh and blood, like a conference? This is what it means. It means that if I were to say to you, I said, Gabriel, I'm going to show you what the Bible says, and I were to show him what the Bible says. It says right here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then if Gabriel turned around and said, you know what, I need to ask my mom if that's really right. You know, like he can't make his own decision or something, right? You know what I mean? That's what he's saying here. Paul didn't have to go ask somebody whether what this book says is right. He said, hey, I know it's right because I saw it myself. That's what he's saying here. I don't need somebody to tell me what's right and wrong doctrinally. I don't need to run it by somebody. Why? Because I don't need to confer with flesh and blood. I need to confer with Jesus Christ right here in the Bible. Okay? And you say, well, some of the things you preach, I've never heard anybody else preach it. Well, shame on them for not preaching it then. And I'm not saying everything that I say is right. I'm not infallible. That's why you should be studying the Bible, and you can check me out. Everything I say, you should check it out and make sure if it's right or not, because I'm not infallible either. Okay? I'm not the Pope. I'm not some kind of a God man. You ought to be studying the Bible yourself and know what it says for yourself. But look, if you would, at Jeremiah chapter 12, and I'll kind of get into the message here of what I'm really talking about. We're talking about strengthening your spirit, being strong in spirit. Don't be a weak Christian. Be strong in spirit. Look at Jeremiah 12. Here's a great verse in Jeremiah 12. I'll give you a second to get there. Jeremiah 12, verse number 5. Listen to what God says here. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? Did you hear that? He said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustedst, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? He's saying, if you can't even take it running against men, he says, how are you going to run with the horses? And he says, if you can't take it in the land of peace, and by the way, you're living in the land of peace, in case you don't know that, the United States of America is the land of peace. I don't remember fighting any battles on the way to church this morning. I don't remember having to use any weapons this week. I don't remember having to fear for my life this week. Although, you know, South Phoenix is, we did have the helicopters going over our head every night this week. But we're living in the land of peace. If you can't live for God in the land of peace, he says there's no way you'll ever live for God in the swelling of Jordan when there's a fight going on, when there's a battle going on. Hey, when it gets hard to do what's right, how are you going to live for God? You can't even live for God in the land of peace, is what he's saying. When it's time of peace, when you're not being persecuted, when it's not hard, that's when you got to take the time to leave the fun, leave the games, and go out into the wilderness and start strengthening your spirit, because guess what? The hard times are coming. Persecution is coming. The swelling of Jordan is coming. One day you'll be running with the horses. You better learn how to run with the footmen now. Look, if you can't drag yourself to church now, how are you going to drag yourself to church when it becomes illegal to go to church? Oh, that would never happen. Okay, keep telling yourself that. If you can't read your Bible now, what if you're in a country where the Bible's not even allowed? Oh man, then I'd be fighting to get the Bible. You know you wouldn't. You don't even read it now. You know, right? Oh, I'd smuggle the Bible. No, you wouldn't. You don't even, you can't, he says if you can't take it now, you won't take it then. So you better decide now, you better start running with the footmen. And you better start strengthening your spirit now while you can. Because the hard times are coming. You see, in Matthew 13:21, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, when persecution or tribulation ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. This is the seed that's sown in the stony place, has no root in itself, okay? He's not strengthened in the inward parts. He's not rooted in what he believes. What's going to happen? Persecution and tribulation will come. It's not whether it might come. It says when persecution or tribulation arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Because he has no root in himself. Yea and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says in the book of 2 Timothy. Now that's a promise from God. Look if you would at 2 Timothy chapter number 4 where that's found. I want to show you something else. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, there may come a day, right now maybe you have friends and family supporting you. You have a church that loves you and that's supporting you and teaching the Bible. You have Pastor Anderson who loves you and he'll stand up with you. And if you take the stand, man, I'll take the stand right beside you. But did you know that there may come a day, one day, and I think there will come a day in almost everyone's life when it's just you alone. See, you've got to decide right now to leave the crowd. Think about Jesus. He left the crowd to make sure that he got alone with the Father. Did you know that there was a day in the life of Jesus Christ when he was alone? Not because he wanted to be alone. You remember the day that he was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane and everybody forsook him? And it was just Jesus alone. Think about John the Baptist. He could have been with the crowd. He could have been with the friends and the fun. He chose to take some time and go out in the wilderness and be alone with God. Did you know that there came a day later in his life? Boy, we read in Luke chapter 3 about him having the multitude saved and baptized. Boy, he was popular. But what happened shortly thereafter is he was alone. Because he was in a jail cell, sitting by himself alone. Apostle Paul. There was a time when the Apostle Paul had many people traveling with him. Boy, he had Barnabas, he had John Mark, he had Luke with him, he had Silas with him, he had all these people with him. Okay, look down at your Bible at 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, Paul saying. No man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He said, everybody forsook me. He said, they were wrong to do that. He said, God, forgive them for doing that, but you know what? Everybody just forsook me. I was all by myself. Jesus was all by himself. Everybody forsook him. There came a time when John the Baptist, all by himself. But see, I don't think that the reason that John the Baptist didn't buckle under the pressure is because he'd been by himself before with God. And so now he's with God in the rough times. He's ready to be by himself because he's been by himself before. And then the Apostle Paul, again, he went to Arabia. Well, now decades later, everybody forsakes him. Notwithstanding, in verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Look at 2 Timothy 1:15. Just go back a few chapters in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Bible reads in 2 Timothy 1, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. You hear that? Everybody turned their back on him. All these churches that he'd started, all these people that he preached to, had turned away from him. He names a few of the people that have probably the ringleaders that turned people away from Paul and maybe spoke evil of Paul by Jealous and Hermogenes or the people that he mentions that probably had negative things to say about Paul and were part of the reason why they forsook him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible reads in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible reads, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, because we're talking about being strong in spirit. We're not talking about becoming a bodybuilder. Okay. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Affliction is the same word as tribulation, persecution. It's the same type of thing. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He says here, we faint not, because he says, even though our outward man perish in verse 16, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If you really serve God and really work hard for God and really spend the hours in the Bible, not the 5-minute devotional, not our daily bread, Not have a little talk with Jesus, okay? But I'm talking about if you spend the hours in the Bible, I mean, sit down and read the Bible for an hour or 2 hours a day and really read it. Really get the Bible in your heart and learn it. And if you're really out knocking the doors and soul winning, you're really out working hard and providing for your family and doing what you're supposed to be doing and working hard and doing everything you're supposed to be doing, sometimes you get tired and worn out. You know, coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it can begin to wear on you, especially as a pastor. You know, it'll wear you out sometimes. And even when I wasn't a pastor, sometimes my schedule, just being young and working a lot of hours and trying to keep the family rolling and keep the finances rolling and just keep everything going and still trying to serve God and study the Bible, do it. There are times when you're just physically going to collapse. I mean, you're just so tired, so worn out. Sometimes I feel like Samson said, remember when Samson was in the temple of Dagon and he stood between the pillars, and what did he say? He said, God, would you just strengthen me just one more time? One more time, you know, would you strengthen me? Would you strengthen my spirit? Sometimes that's the way I feel. You know, just, I'm not even looking at months from now. I'm just thinking, God, will you strengthen me for one more service? You know, will you strengthen me for one more hour of soul winning? Because I just feel like my outward man is perishing. You know, I'm beat, I'm worn out, I'm tired, emotionally drained and mentally drained and you get physically drained serving God. But the only way that you're going to keep from falling out, the only way you're going to keep from quitting, the only way you're going to keep from going soft is because your inward man's got to be renewed day by day. You see, the spirit of a man beareth his infirmity, the Bible says. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? That's what it says in the book of Proverbs. See, your spirit can keep your body going. Your spirit can keep you moving when you feel like you're going to faint. Hey, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's spirit can strengthen you. Your spirit, if it's strong, can sustain physical infirmities to keep you going and pushing yourself when your mind and your body's drained. Like when Jesus said, I feel like virtue has gone out of me after he'd done the miracles and preached the sermons. But the spirit kept him going. It kept him strong. But if your spirit's weak, you will fall. You will fail. You will faint. And so you can't do it in the flesh. The spirit must keep you going if you're going to live the Christian life, if you're going to be maximum for Jesus Christ. You see, I want to get to the end of my life. I want to just, on the last day of my life, you know what I want to do? I want to just collapse. Just exhausted. Just spent. I don't want to have any gas left in the gas tank when I die. I want to just be done. I want to just collapse and say I gave everything that I had. Everything, every part of my mind was just for God. You know, it was for memorizing the Bible. Every part of my mind was just something about preaching the gospel or helping people or loving my wife or loving my children or doing my work, you know, to make money, to pay the bills and to do that. I just want every part of my mind to just be drained. I want every muscle in my body to be worn out. And I want to just collapse and say like the Apostle Paul did, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. Hey, I want to give everything. I want to be worn out and just collapse and be done with it. You see, if you're going to be maximum for Jesus Christ, I mean, not just doing the minimum of, well, I went to church and won a few souls and read a little Bible, but if you want to do the maximum, I mean, if you want God to use you maximum, huh? You're going to need a strong spirit to sustain you during the persecution times, during the tribulation times, and during the times when your physical body is just worn out and you're going to collapse. You've got to have God's spirit there, and you've got to also have your own spirit that's strong, that's strengthened in the inward man. This kind of goes back to, you know, Wednesday night sermon, when we're going through the Bible study in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, about the flesh and the spirit. You feed the flesh is going to take over. You know, you feed the spirit's going to be strong. Reading the Bible is how you're going to feed the spirit. Listening to preaching, singing these songs out of the hymnal, praying, whereas you watch TV, you're feeding the flesh. You watch TV, you're feeding the flesh. You listen to the music on the radio, the world's garbage, you're feeding the flesh. The list goes on and on. Go buy People magazine and feed the flesh. And see if you walk in the Spirit tomorrow. See if your spirit's strong. It won't be. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. I have to move quickly here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, toward the end of the New Testament, the Bible reads in verse number 8, famous verse, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions," boy, these afflictions, these hard times keep coming up, the tribulations, the persecution, "knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." Did you hear that? You think it was fun for John the Baptist out in the wilderness? I think he was suffering. I think it got hot. I think it got cold. I think it became uncomfortable. I think that he didn't always get the food that he wanted to gratify his flesh with. But it says, after that you've suffered a while, Jesus Christ wants to make you perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. You see, when these hard times come, they're going to strengthen you. Sometimes bad things will happen, so to speak, bad. Persecution comes. People end up, you know, going to jail, or people end up in trouble with the law, or people end up just being attacked at work. You know, people are out to get you because you're a Christian, because of what you believe, or whatever the case may be, just hard times. They come. Maybe a physical illness that comes upon you and makes you very ill, as Job went through. Maybe friends that turned on you and stabbed you in the back. When these things come and they make you suffer, God's trying to strengthen you and make you stronger. Think about this. If you've ever lifted weights at all, I used to lift weights just as a teenager, probably like 10 years ago, you know. I lifted weights a lot, okay. That's why I'm so big and buff right now, okay, because I used to... I mean, you can tell the effects are still there, you know, from all the weightlifting. But modesty forbids, but, you know. But anyway, you know, when I used to lift weights, I understood this fact that the only way that you're ever going to grow, you know, the only way that you're ever going to increase your strength is to push yourself harder than you can go comfortably. You know, if you can comfortably do 10 repetitions at a certain weight, you got to do, you know, you need to be doing 13 or 14. You know, something that's going to make it burn. Something that's going to make it hurt. And sometimes I remember when you'd be doing a bench press, for example, and you're pushing it up for that last repetition, and your hands are shaking. You know, your muscles are shaking and quivering. And you're just, you know, you're just giving everything you got, and just push, 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 and you can just barely do it, okay? When you push yourself beyond what you're comfortably or easily capable of, what you're doing is you're actually, you know, you're damaging those muscles, but then your body pumps all kinds of blood and nutrients to those muscles, and it rebuilds them. It breaks them down, and then it rebuilds them bigger and stronger next time. And that's what weightlifting is. You know, it's a constant breaking down and rebuilding of your muscles. That's why your muscles get bigger and bigger and tougher and more lean and more efficient. And you can go from lifting, you know, 150 to 200 pounds, you know, with a bench press, or from 200 to 250, because your muscles are getting stronger. Why? Because you're putting them through pain, okay? You're never going to become strong by just doing what's easy, by doing what you're comfortable with. You know, if I laid on my back and had a broomstick, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah, you're not going to get that big. It doesn't matter how often you do it, no matter how hard you push it, 459, 450, you know, 460, 461, okay, it's not going to work. Once you get up to about 12, see, I used to do a lot of this. Once you get up to like 12 repetitions, it's time to put on some more weight. And then you put on more weight, now you're down to like 6 or 7 or 8. And then you work that up to 12. And then once you get to 12, you add more weight, and you go back. You keep getting harder and heavier, okay? That's how you're going to grow. God is going to have to put you through some pain sometimes to strengthen you. You're not going to know how much you're capable of enduring until God takes you to the point where you've just endured everything you could possibly endure, and you're about to collapse. That's when you... I mean, if you ask me right now, how far can you run, Pastor Anderson, before you just get tired and collapse? Well, if I were to run a mile right now and come back and say, okay, I ran a mile, Isn't that all I'm capable of running? We're not going to know until I run, until I collapse. Okay? Now, if I run until I collapse, then when I collapse, we'll say, okay, that's how far he can run without just passing out and collapsing and going to the emergency room. But we're not going to know until I collapse. Okay? See, God has to push you sometimes just to the point of collapsing. Okay, why? Because he's trying to strengthen you and build you up stronger next time. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 6. So you're going to have to suffer a little while. But it's so that God can strengthen you. I'm too tired to read the Bible. Suffer. I'm too tired to come to church. Suffer. Come to church. Huh? I'm too tired to go soul winning. Do it anyway. You think I feel like soul winning every time I go soul winning? Because I don't. Sometimes I feel like laying down and just kicking my feet up and relaxing with something cold to drink, not walking up and down the streets. But you know what? I want to go suffer. Because I want God to make me perfect. I want God to establish me, strengthen me, and settle me. And I want God to use me to see people saved and to win people to Christ. Are you in Ephesians chapter 6? Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Boy, how many times are you going to say the word stand? Stand up. Stand. See, what's the opposite of standing? Sitting down. Relaxing. Or backing up, right? Stand, he's saying. Stand for the Bible. Huh? Stand for what it says. Stand for Jesus Christ. Stand for soul winning. Stand for King James. Hey, stand up for what you believe, he's saying. Because there's an evil day coming where it's going to be hard to stand. You say, what's so hard about standing? I can stand up all day. Well, in the evil day, it's difficult to stand. Because when you're standing in the evil day, you're withstanding the devil. And he's saying, the only way you're going to stand is if you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, it says in verse 10. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, verse 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Notice that whenever the gospel is mentioned, or soul winning mentioned, it's always your feet. Not just your mouth. Why? Because we're to go out and win the lost. Not just wait for them to show up at church or bring them to church. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in and my house may be filled. Go ye, therefore, into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is part of what's going to keep you standing, as if you're a soul winner. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, remember he's in jail, we saw that in chapter 3, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of God. Paul, that's how you got in jail, being too bold. He says, no, I'm not bold enough. He says, I want to be more bold. I want to have more courage. I want to preach out more boldly the gospel. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, another reference to him being in jail, that therein I may speak boldly. That in jail, he's saying, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I love this verse, Psalm 119:28. Don't turn there. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. See, strengthen the inward parts is what we're talking about. Being strong in spirit. Getting alone with God and strengthening yourself. Why do you need to be strong? Because the bad times are coming. Because persecution is coming. Because tribulation is coming. You're going to have to be strong. How are you going to get strong? One of the greatest ways you're going to strengthen your spirit is through the word of God. That's what he's saying here. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Jeremiah 31:33, don't turn there. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts. Remember he talked about being strengthened in the inward parts, strong in spirit. I'll put my law, put my word is what he's saying, in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. David said in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Joshua 1:8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night, meditating in the Word of God. You see, we need to have a revival of this book right here. And we need to have a revival of you getting alone in the desert somewhere, in the wilderness somewhere, or even if you're not literally going to go to the desert, although since we live in Phoenix, it's only a few blocks away, maybe you're not literally going to go to the wilderness, but I'm talking about the spiritual wilderness, where you go by yourself, and maybe it is outside somewhere. Maybe it's in a room somewhere, where it's just you and the Bible, you and God. And we need to have a revival of memorizing the Bible. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I was reading a story somewhere about these different martyrs in the past that have died for, William Tyndale was burned at the stake to translate the Bible into English, and the King James Bible is pretty much derived from the Tyndale Bible. I mean, he really pioneered the effort to translate the true Word of God into the English language. William Tyndale was burned at the stake before he could finish his work. They burned the stake because they wanted to keep people in darkness. They didn't want them to have the Bible in their own language. And I was reading some stories about these different martyrs that have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And I read about one man they talked about, and I loved this. It said that they were leading this one man, I forget what his name was, but they were leading him to be burned at the stake. And it said that while they were leading him, he quoted Psalm 105, Psalm 106, and Psalm 107. And then he put his hands, tied his hands behind his back, tied him to the stake and burned him at the stake. He just willingly, he could have renounced Jesus Christ, he could have renounced what he believed, but he was strong in spirit. I wonder if it had something to do with those three chapters that he quoted on the way to the stake. And that probably wasn't the only three chapters that he knew either. And those are little chapters either. Psalm 105, 106, and 107, they're good sized chapters. He's a man who had the Word of God in his heart. And he said it with his mouth. As they're leaving, can you imagine how that guard felt as he walked this man to his death? As they walked that man and tied him to the stake and were burning him alive? As he quoted these words just from his heart, just from his memory? Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 106. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Can you imagine just quoting these words as he's led to his death? I mean, these are long chapters, right? Chapters of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. We need to get rid of this shallow Christianity that we have in 2007. We need to get rid of this shallow living, this shallow Bible knowledge. You know, it wouldn't hurt you, and I don't care who you are. You say, well, I'm new to church, I just got saved recently. I don't care who you are. It's time for you to go to the wilderness. I don't care who you are. Okay? And I don't care if it's my kids here, young kids. You need to learn this now. You need to go to the wilderness now as a young child. Teenagers. Young people. And you need to sit down and say, I'm going to memorize chapters of the Bible. Why? It'd probably be a good start to get that chart and read the whole Bible too, cover to cover. And I'm tired of hearing people say, "Well, it's just too much. It's boring." If the Bible's boring to you, it's because you're living in the flesh. You need to sow to the Spirit. You'll begin to love and crave hearing the Bible. Turn off the iPod for a while. Turn off the TV for a while. You'll start to love the Bible once again. And you know, you need to get to the point, I don't care where you are in your spiritual growth, you need to be memorizing passages of the Bible. You need to be spending long sessions of reading the Bible. You say, "I'm busy." Hey, get the Bible on tape then. Get the Bible on a CD then. Get up an hour early then. You know what? If you've never sat down for 1 hour solid and read the Bible, you need to get right with God. If you've never sat down in your chair and picked up the Bible and read it for 1 hour, hey, you need to get right with God. That's all there is to it. You need to quit thinking that this is some kind of a Burger King religion where you have it your way, where it's 99 cents and you get it in 2 minutes and 32 seconds. Hey, you need to get to the point where you're willing to sit for an hour and read for an hour and say, "Oh God, speak to me. Teach me your word. And God, would you strengthen me in the inward parts? Would you strengthen my spirit?" I get so tired of this lame, weak, sissified Christianity. We need men that are real men again, and real men are men like John the Baptist. I bet you that John the Baptist didn't have a feminine bone in his body. You think John the Baptist was wearing Abercrombie and Fitch clothing? Do you think that John the Baptist was wearing his little tailored shirt and his tight little jeans and flip-flops? You know, his jeans are a little bit too long with flip-flops that he got from Urban Outfitter and Abercrombie & Fitch. You think, look, I get so tired of people, "Well, I just don't see what's wrong with, you know, my rock music." I'll tell you what's wrong. You think John the Baptist had NSYNC, some queer little sissy group? But you think John the Baptist listened to Metallica? Some blasphemous, anti-God, satanic group? Do you think John the Baptist even had a CD player? No. This is what John the Baptist had, and that's all he needed, and that's all I need, the Bible, the Word of God, the book. Just think for a minute. We're so warped in our view of things because we live in 2007. Just think about what you're reading in the Bible about John the Baptist. This is a real person. It's the greatest man who ever lived. Jesus Christ literally, physically walked on this earth. Huh? The Apostle Paul was a real person. You could be. You're sitting in this room, young man, you could be the next Apostle Paul. Yes, you could. Don't tell me he's some special person. He's a human being. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God can use anybody who's willing to surrender themselves to God and is ready to yield themselves to God. But they must be willing to go to the wilderness with God alone and get in the Bible, memorize the Bible, pray to God, read and study the Bible. No man is fit to stand behind a pulpit and preach if he doesn't know the Bible. And I'll say that to you because I know the Bible. I don't care how many degrees he has, he better know the Bible. And you sitting in the pew had better know the Bible so that you can know whether this man that's saying on the pulpit is even telling you the truth or not. Whether I'm even preaching what's right to you or not. You know, what's going to happen someday when somebody takes the Bible out of your hand and says, "You can't have the Bible." And they put you in a jail cell. I know a preacher right now that's sitting in jail. They put him in solitary confinement for 45 days or how long, I don't know, 30 days. How long was that? 2 days. Okay, I'm sorry. They put him in solitary confinement for a couple of days. You know what they handed him? The NIV. The NIV. They handed him. He went to solitary for, he's in jail for years and years, but they handed him a copy of the NIV and sent him to solitary confinement. You know what? If they handed me, that'd be, maybe I could use it for a pillow or something. I don't know what I'd use it for. I'd say what I'd use it for, but I'm not, I don't want to be that graphic. But anyway, hey, they gave him the NIV. Hey, what good is it? It's a piece of junk. If they handed it to me, I'd just hand it back and just say, get this piece of junk away from me. This piece of trash away from me. But you know what I'd do if I was in solitary confinement? I'd go lay on the bed, I'd lay on my pillow, and I'd begin to quote the Bible. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brother, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Israel, and Israel begat Aram, and Aram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat... Wasn't this boring? And Abinadab begat Nahshon, Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab, Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, who had been the wife of Uriah, and Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Edekias, and Edekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Jeconias, and Jeconias... I'm sorry, Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brother. And about the time they were carried away to Babylon, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Azor, and Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliab, and Eliab begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthew, and Matthew begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. When as his mother Mary was, and that's getting a little more exciting, right? And when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to put her away privily, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Look, that's what I'd be doing. What are you going to be doing? Quoting Jesus wept? Quoting John 3:16? Huh? That's one chapter. Huh? Learn the Bible, my friend, because one day you may not have the Bible. You better understand the treasure, the gift above measure, huh? The eternal Word of God that's sitting in your eyes. You better realize what you're holding, huh? You better realize what you've got. Because one day you may not have what you've got. You better realize what you've got, Faithful Word Baptist Church. One day you may not have Faithful Word Baptist Church. So you better be here, you know. Is it a sin to miss church? Sunday morning, Sunday, who cares? That's a meaningless question. Is it a sin for you to miss church? So what? Why would you want to miss church? I mean, don't you want to learn? Don't you need to learn this? Don't you need church like I need church? Don't you need to get together with other people who believe the Bible and love God? Hey, don't you need what's being preached right now? Don't you need to be strong in spirit? Why would you want to miss church? That's a silly question. Don't ask dumb questions. Is it a sin? I mean, do I have to be there 3 times a week? You don't have to be here at all. Okay, let's put it that way. Do I have to come 3 times a week or just once a week? You don't have to come at all. But if you want to learn the Bible, I'd come. If you want to get fired up about things of God, hey, I'd come. Oh, do we have to go soul winning? How long do we have to go for? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? You don't even have to go. Just go ahead and stay home. Just stay home and watch TV. So what? But I'm going to go. He's going to go. We're going to go. We're going to go out and win souls and get all kinds of people saved. How long are we going to go for? As long as we can. As long as we can. That's how long we're going to go for. How much Bible do I have to read to be a good Christian? You know what? Don't even read the Bible then. Okay, but you know what? If I were you, I'd read as much as you can. Well, how much do I need to memorize? Hey, memorize it all. Or don't memorize any. Who cares? I care, because I want to be strong in spirit, so I'm going to memorize as much as I can. Read as much as I can. Love God as much as I can. Serve God as much as I can. I'm going to tell you something. It's time for you to decide to enter the spiritual weight room and say, I'm ready to become strong in spirit. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be a weakling. I don't want to be a spiritual sissy. I want to be a man of God. And it doesn't matter whether you're the preacher or not. You ought to be a man of God in the pew there. You ought to love God and know God. If you're a lady, hey, God can use ladies just as much as men. Because they can win souls just like men can. And that's the greatest thing in the world. Preaching behind a pulpit is meaningless to me. The preaching that I did with this afternoon, that was the real preaching. The preaching at the door. The same preaching that you ladies should be doing. That's the real preaching. The real preaching is what was your greatest sermon that you ever preached, Pastor Anderson? It was when I got on my knees beside my coworker in the hotel room and prayed with him and helped him receive Christ as Savior. Okay, after I just preached the greatest sermon of my life when I opened the Bible and I started in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, my greatest sermon is a sermon that I've preached thousands of times. It starts in Romans 3:23. It ends with John 3:16 and John 3:18. And it's pretty similar every time. You know, you say you ever get tired of preaching that sermon? Hey, no, I never get tired of preaching. I preach it every week. I preach it all the time. It never gets old. It's the timeless tale of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just bless this church. Bless those that are here. Help everyone that's here not to just shrug off the message. Help everyone here to take it to heart and decide that they're going to be strong in spirit and decide that they're going to go home tonight, get away from the crowd a little bit, get off somewhere by themselves a little bit and open the Bible and read the Bible and let God speak to them. God, please help everyone in this room this week to spend, not some 5 minute, 10 minute, 15 minute, to sit down and spend an hour reading the Bible. To spend some serious time memorizing the Bible. To really strengthen their spirit, even if they don't feel like it. And God, help everyone here to decide that they're going to take advantage of what you've given them, that they're going to take advantage of the Bible that you've given them and read it. Take advantage of this church and attend here and get what's being preached here. And Father, please just build us all up as a corporate body here, as a church. Help Faithful Word Baptist Church to be a strong church, filled with people who are strong in spirit. Help us to grow to the next level.